why do people write books? You write a book to tell your story. You write a book to tell the truth. You write a book to propel an agenda. You write a book as a prospective instrument. You write a book to educate. You write a book to account for a historical event. I mean, that's why people write books, and that's why I wrote my book. There is nothing... why would anybody ask me why did I write a book instead of congratulating me?
Okay, congratulations, Prime Minister's office. But the Prime Minister's office said they dare you to come out and implicate the Prime Minister himself if that is what you intend to do. So they are daring you. Are you going to take up their dare?
I don't know what you're talking about. You know, the book is 588 pages. So you would have to be very specific on what you're talking about.
Okay, the specific...
The Prime Minister, I don't think I've read the book because I just launched it on Saturday, and today is the second day. I don't think anybody, the fastest reader, would not have finished 588 pages in 2 days. So they have definitely not read the book. They are commenting out of ignorance. So, but you have to be specific and tell me, this is what so-and-so says on this page or on this issue. And then I can address that.
The chief prosecutor is saying that you should be invited by the police to give evidence of what you claim you know in the book. What do you say to that?
The man does not know criminal law. In fact, he should not be. He's called director of public prosecution. He does not know what criminal law is. He has no experience. He studied patents and copyright. And definitely the man is over his head with his work. Let me tell you this. When a responsible, intelligent, competent director of public prosecution would never release a statement publicly about a potential witness over an ongoing criminal investigation, that is the most irresponsible thing to do. There is something in this country called Witness Protection Act. It protects witnesses and whistleblowers against these kinds of infractions. When you do that to a witness or a potential witness, you open them up for attack physically, psychologically, emotionally, intellectually, financially, and you don't want to do that. So if you're a responsible prosecutor and you're interested in a witness, you know how to approach a witness professionally. You do it discreetly, you discuss these things privately, and you get to know what's going on. But when he releases a statement like that, he's acting like a political hack. And really, I treat him with the contempt he deserves. I have already spoken with a commissioner of police, and I told him to warn the director of public prosecution because I could sue him. You see, the director of public prosecution does not investigate for the ICC. The ICC is a world body, competent and capable of investigating crimes against humanity all over the world. And how does he know I have not spoken with the ICC? The ICC would not confirm or deny and would never give him that kind of information. Why haven't they investigated 4 years, 5 years on after post-election violence? If he's a competent director of public prosecution, how come he has not unraveled any major financial scandal, starting from Goldenberg, that lost Kenyans over $200 billion to Anglo Leasing, to KKD, to Triton, all these scandals? How come he has never investigated conclusively all the extrajudicial killings? He's a joker. I don't play around with jokers. I know my staff. And I don't play around.
Mr. Mugume, some people have called for the resignation of the Prime Minister for a thorough investigation based on your book. What is your stance about that?
I think he should have resigned long time ago. He's totally incompetent. He's very disorganized. He's dysfunctional. He's confused. He's not executed his functions the way he should. If your senior-most advisor comes to you and tells you that so-and-so is said to have done this, costing the public billions of shillings, a responsible prime minister who cares about ethics, who cares about the rule of law, who cares about the constitution, who cares about his own people, would say, is that true? Can you call so-and-so? Can we discuss it? Can we try to get to the bottom of this? He never did that. He laughed at me and said, so what? So what if he stole? So what if he said to have done this and that? Is that the way you talk to your advisor who is trying to make you look good? So essentially what are you saying? Oh, Luos are talking too much. Who told them not to make money? So essentially what you're telling me is that I should be trying to steal from the public to make money. And my purpose there was to protect public interest. So the prime minister stinks from top to bottom.
People are saying you were sacked from the prime minister's office. So you, basically what you are doing is sour grapes and you are throwing accusations left, right and center. From an ordinary person's perspective, how credible do you think people will receive this information that you are spitting out?
My friend, if I was incredible, if I didn't have credibility, if I was myself corrupt, do you think I would stay in the same country and challenge a prime minister of an African country? Do you think by this time I would still be walking free? Would they have locked me up with any flimsy excuse? I am clean. That is why they can't get to me. The second point, he offered me back my job. Why would you do that if somebody is unsavory, if somebody has no credibility? Why? And let me correct you. I was not fired. I was suspended unlawfully. And he himself announced that I had been vindicated, that the investigations found that the allegations were unfounded. The allegations was that somebody said I was rude. Another person said that I was not nice to him. Is that why you suspend your senior most advisor without telling him and you announce it to the media and you don't even tell him, you don't even ask him anything? And yet they fired all my staff. If I had done something, what had my staff done? Then they changed the locks on the door. Then they keep my personal effects. Then they stopped paying me because they wanted me to comply, to suck up and support corruption. I will not. I have refused to do that. And he can go to court, and I will challenge him to go to court.
You made very serious allegations against the prime minister that he condoned corruption.
He did not just condone. He partook in corruption. I mean, he has not challenged me. He has not said that that what I said is false. He has not denied any of the allegations. Why can't he stand up and deny? Is he too big? He's a big African leader, so therefore he cannot deny? Come on, let him come clean. Let him go to court and make me go prove that he's corrupt. Why does he fear going to court? Why is he trying to threaten me using goons, sending goons to demonstrate, sending other goons to address press conferences? Is that how a responsible prime minister behaves?
Do you have any problem with the prime minister based on your close relationship and your fallout? What transpired?
My friend, I supported the prime minister because I believed in him. I believe that he was the best agent of change. I believe that he stood as a force against impunity, the culture of impunity. I thought that he could wrestle to the ground corruption, grand corruption. I thought he could deal with tribalism and nepotism. And I found he was a chief merchant of impunity. That was the only difference, the only point of departure. There is nothing else. When we meet, we talk. There is nothing personal. This is all about principles. I've taken a stand. A lot of people in this country do not want to take a stand because they can easily be bought, they're intimidated, they're cowardly, and I will refuse to subscribe to those.
Now, Mr. Muguma, some people are saying that why wouldn't you give all this evidence to the Anti-Corruption Commission to take up this matter or this fight against the Prime Minister that you have enumerated?
You know what? I went on national television 2 days ago on the day of my launch, and I told them the Anti-Corruption Commission is a joke. The head, the former head of the Anti-Corruption Commission, was hired by the former president, Daniel Arap Moi, the most corrupt former president in the entire African continent. This man was hired as the inaugural dean of Kabarak University. Kabarak was built by taxpayers' money, which then Moi took and converted into public property and made a university. This so-called anti-corruption commission was headed by this man working for Moi. So he couldn't investigate Moi. One of the biggest scandals is the acquisition of a place called Kipdagi Tea Factory, owned by President Moi, former President Moi, which he stole from the public. Now, is that an anti-corruption commission that you can go to? Let me give you another example. The Prime Minister's permanent secretary returned 19 public houses that he stole 19 years ago to the Anti-Corruption Commission. And then we got an announcement that he had been forgiven. And he remains in office. Nothing happens to him. 2 weeks ago, an investigation was done, and it was found that, again, he stole a house built by the National Housing Corporation for poor Kenyans. And again, nothing has happened to him. This man was fired 20 years ago by the former President Moi for stealing money from the National Museums of Kenya. This man was fired twice as permanent secretary for incompetence. This is Raila Odinga, the prime minister's permanent secretary. Tell me if this is a man who represents a new dawn, or he represents, the corrupt past. These are the people that can stand in front of me and challenge me. They have no credibility. They have no integrity. They cannot speak about anything.
But somebody would say that you know all these things, yet you worked with them until you were fired and decided to write a book and then spill the beans.
Listen. I was abroad practicing law as a barrister and solicitor in the province of Ontario for 15 years. I came back to help Raila Odinga, not knowing the kind of corruption that was going on. I had never worked in Kenya. This is the only time since my student days. First of all, before I left Kenya, I was detained without trial because of the same thing, standing up for against impunity. Then when I came back, it is only when you work with people that you are privy to meetings, you are privy to the scandals, that you can speak about them. People who are challenging me should be challenging those people that are corrupt and have not been fired. They shouldn't say, because you are clean, because you went there, fought corruption, then corruption fought back, then you were suspended, then you decided you don't want to go back. That's a bad thing. It's always a good thing to know more, to know the truth, to stand up for justice. So I don't know why people would be challenging me. Do they mean to say that to work for the government of Kenya, you have to be corrupt? I mean, what exactly are they complaining about? Nobody has come forward and said Miguna is corrupt. The Prime Minister has not said that. The office has not said that. Not one cent can they say that I stole from anybody. I did not take bribes. They did. So people, actually, let me tell you, the majority of Kenyans, my phone is ringing off the hook. My book sold 10,000 copies in 2 days. Can I complain? I'm laughing all the way to the bank. Now in the plane going to Canada, doing my publicity tours, enjoying myself with my family and strategizing on how to write the next book. I'm on a roll, my friend.